Today on Tristan Storytime, Raggedy Ann goes through a wash cycle, and Marcella gets very upset with Dinah. Then Jack climbs up a magic beanstalk in a quest to reclaim what is rightfully his, but has to be mindful of a big mean giant who loves to eat little boys for breakfast. Next, a bear finds honey, and after a bee stings him, the bear goes after the nest, but will that be his undoing? And finally, why do our shadows stick so close to us everywhere we go? Find out in Robert Louis Stevenson's classic poem, My Shadow. Those stories and more next. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tristan Storytime. I'm Tristan Gardner. I'm so glad you're able to join me once again for another great episode. And as always, feel free to use your imaginations, because this is what this podcast is all about, using your imaginations. So find a seat and get comfortable, because another episode of Tristan Storytime is about to begin. Most of the time when people wash clothes, they turn out much cleaner than ever. But what if somebody actually washed something else by mistake? Of course, Raggedy Ann didn't mind, but poor Marcella did. Let me tell you the story of Raggedy Ann and the washing.
Why, Dinah, how could you?
Mama looked out the window and saw Marcella run up to Dinah and take something out of her hand and then put her hand in her arm and commence crying.
What is the trouble, dear?
Mama asked as she came out the door and knelt beside the little figure shaking with sobs. Marcella held out Raggedy Ann, but such a comical-looking Raggedy Ann. Mama had to smile in spite of her sympathy, for Raggedy Ann looked ridiculous. Dinah's big eyes rolled out in a troubled manner, for Marcella had snatched Raggedy Ann from Dinah's hand as she cried,
Why, Dinah, how could you?
Dinah could not quite understand, and as she dearly loved Marcella, she was troubled. Raggedy Ann was not in the least downhearted, and while she felt she must look very funny, she continued to smile, but with a more expansive smile than ever before. Raggedy Ann knew just how it all happened, and her remaining shoe button eye twinkled. She remembered that morning when Marcella came to the nursery to take the nighties from the dolls and dressed them. She had been cross. Raggedy Ann thought at the time,
Perhaps she had climbed out of bed backwards.
For Marcella complained to each doll as she dressed them. And when it came Raggedy's time to be dressed, Marcella was very cross, for she had scratched her finger on a pin when dressing the French doll. So when Marcella heard the little girl next door calling to her, she ran out of the nursery and gave Raggedy Ann a toss from her as she ran. Now it happened Raggedy lit in the clothes hamper, and there she lay, all doubled up in a knot. A few minutes afterwards, Dinah came through the hall with an armful of clothes and piled them in the hamper on top of Raggedy Ann. Then Dinah carried the hamper out in back of the house where she did the washing. Dinah dumped all the clothes into the boiler and poured water on them. The boiler was then placed upon the stove. When the water began to get warm, Raggedy Ann wiggled around and climbed up amongst the clothes to the top of the boiler to peek out. There was too much steam, and she could see nothing. For that matter, Dinah could not see Raggedy Ann either, on account of the steam. So Dinah, using an old broom handle, stirred the clothes in the boiler, and the clothes and Raggedy Ann were stirred and whirled around until all were thoroughly boiled. When Dinah took the clothes, a piece at a time from the boiler, and scrubbed them, she finally came upon Raggedy Ann. Now Dinah did not know, but that Marcella had placed Raggedy in the clothes hamper to be washed, so she soaped Raggedy well and scrubbed her up and down over the rough washboard. Two buttons from the back of Raggedy's dress came off, and one of Raggedy Ann's shoe button eyes was loosened as Dinah gave her face a final scrub. Then Dinah put Raggedy Ann's feet in the wringer and turned the crank. It was hard work getting Raggedy through the wringer, but Dinah was very strong. And of course, it happened. Raggedy Ann came through as flat as a pancake. It was just then that Marcella returned and saw Raggedy.
Why, Dinah, how could you?
Marcella had sobbed as she snatched the flattened Raggedy Ann from the bewildered Dinah's hand. Mama patted Marcella's hand and soon coaxed her to quit sobbing. When Dinah explained that the first she knew of Raggedy being in the wash was when she took her from the boiler, Marcella began crying again.
It was all my fault, Mama,
she cried.
I remember now that I threw dear old Raggedy Ann from me as I ran out the door, and she must have fallen in the clothes hamper. Oh, dear! Oh, dear!
And she hugged Raggedy Ann tight. Mama did not tell Marcella that she had been cross and naughty, for she knew Marcella felt very sorry. Instead, Mama put her arms around her and said,
Just see how Raggedy Ann takes it. She doesn't seem to be unhappy.
And when Marcella brushed her tears away and looked at Raggedy Ann flat as a pancake and with a cheery smile upon her painted face, she had to laugh. And Mama and Dinah had to laugh too, for Raggedy Ann's smile was almost twice as broad as it had been before.
Just let me hang Miss Raggedy on the line in the bright sunshine for half an hour,
said Dinah,
and you won't know her when she comes off.
So Raggedy Ann was pinned to the clothesline, out in the bright sunshine, where she swayed and twisted in the breeze and listened to the chatter of the robins in a nearby tree. Every once in a while, Dinah went out and rolled and patted Raggedy until her cotton stuffing was soft and dry and fluffy, and her head and arms and legs were nice and round again. Then she took Raggedy Ann into the house and showed Marcella and Mama how clean and sweet she was. Marcella took Raggedy Ann right up to the nursery and told all the dolls just what had happened and how sorry she was that she had been so cross and peevish when she dressed them. And while the dolls said never a word, they looked at their little mistress with love in their eyes as she sat in the little red rocking chair and held Raggedy Ann tightly in her arms. And Raggedy Ann's remaining shoe button eye looked up at her little mistress in rather a saucy manner. But upon her face was the same old smile of happiness, good humor, and love. So you see, even a good thing can come out of something bad. It's all just a matter of how we handle it. Don't move a muscle. There are more stories to come as Tristan's Storytime continues. This fairy tale has always inspired me to take advantage of life's many opportunities. And it's all in the classic fairy tale, Jack and the Beanstalk. Once upon a time, there lived a poor widow who had an only son named Jack. She was very poor, for times had been hard, and Jack was too young to work. Almost all the furniture of the little cottage had been sold to buy bread, until at last there was nothing left worth selling. Only the good cow, Milky White, remained, and she gave milk every morning, which they took to market and sold. But one sad day, Milky White gave no milk, and then things looked bad indeed.
"Never mind, Mother," said Jack. "We must sell Milky White. Trust me to make a good bargain."
And away he went to the market. For some time, he went along very sadly. But after a little while, he quite recovered his spirits.
"I may as well ride as walk,"
he said. So instead of leading the cow by the halter, he jumped on her back. And so he went, whistling along until he met a butcher.
"Good morning,"
said the butcher.
"Good morning, sir,"
answered Jack. "Where are you going?" said the butcher.
"I am going to market to sell the cow."
"It's lucky I met you," said the butcher. "You may save yourself the trouble of going so far." With this, he put his hand in his pocket and pulled out 5 curious-looking beans. "What do you call these?"
"Beans,"
said Jack.
"Yes," he said, "beans, but they're the most wonderful beans that ever were known. If you plant them overnight, by the next morning, they'll grow up and reach the sky. But to save you the trouble of going all the way to market, I don't mind exchanging them for that cow of yours." "Done!"
cried Jack, who was so delighted with the bargain that he ran all the way home to tell his mother how lucky he had been.
But oh, how disappointed the poor widow was.
Off to bed with you,
she cried, and she was so angry that she threw the beans out of the window into the garden. So poor Jack went to bed without any supper and cried himself to sleep. When he woke up the next morning, the room was almost dark, and Jack jumped out of bed and ran to the window to see what was the matter. The sun was shining brightly outside, but from the ground right up beside his window, there was a great growing beanstalk, which stretched up and up as far as he could see into the sky. I'll just see where it leads to, thought Jack, and with that, he stepped out of the window onto the beanstalk and began to climb upwards. He climbed up and up, till after a time, his mother's cottage looked like a mere speck below. But at last the stalk ended, and he found himself in a new and beautiful country. A little way off, there was a great castle, with a broad road leading straight up to the front gate. But what most surprised Jack was to find a beautiful maiden suddenly standing beside him.
Good morning, ma'am,
he said very politely.
Good morning, Jack, she said.
And Jack was more surprised than ever, for he could not imagine how she had learned his name. But he soon found that she knew a great deal more about him than his name, for she told him how, when he was quite a little baby, his father, a gallant knight, had been slain by a giant who lived in yonder castle, and how his mother, in order to save Jack, had been obliged to promise never to tell the secret.
All that the giant has is yours,
she said, and then disappeared quite as suddenly as she came.
She must be a fairy, thought Jack.
As he drew near to the castle, he saw the giant's wife standing at the door.
If you please, ma'am, he said, would you kindly give me some breakfast? I have had nothing to eat since yesterday.
Now the giant's wife, although very big and very ugly, had a kind heart, so she said,
Very well, little man. Come in, but you must be quick about it, for if my husband, the giant, finds you here, he will eat you up, bones and all.
So in Jack went, and the giant's wife gave him a good breakfast. But before he had half finished it, there came a terrible knock at the front door, which seemed to shake even the thick walls of the castle.
Deary me, that is my husband,
said the giantess, in a terrible fright.
We must hide you somehow.
And she lifted Jack up and popped him into the empty kettle. No sooner had the giant's wife opened the door than her husband roared out,
Fee-fi-fo-fum! I smell the blood of an Englishman! Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread! It's a boy, I'm sure it is,
he continued.
Where is he? I'll have him for my breakfast.
Nonsense,
said his wife.
You must be mistaken. It's the ox's hide you smell.
So he sat down and ate up the greater part of the ox. When he had finished, he said,
Wife, bring me my money bags.
So his wife brought him 2 full bags of gold, and the giant began to count his money. But he was so sleepy that his head soon began to nod, and then he began to snore, like the rumbling of thunder. Then Jack crept out, snatched up the 2 bags, and though the giant's dog barked loudly, he made his way down the beanstalk back to the cottage before the giant awoke. Jack and his mother were now quite rich, but it occurred to him one day that he would like to see how matters were going on at the giant's castle. So while his mother was away at the market, he climbed up and up and up and up until he got to the top of the beanstalk again. The giantess was standing at the door just as before, but she did not know Jack, who of course was more finely dressed than on his first visit.
If you please, ma'am, he said, will you give me some breakfast? Run away, she said, or my husband, the giant, will eat you up, bones and all. The last boy who came here stole 2 bags of gold. Off with you.
But the giantess had a kind heart, and after a time, she allowed Jack to come into the kitchen, where she set before him enough breakfast to last him a week. Then there was a great rumbling like an earthquake, and the giantess had only time to bundle Jack into the oven when in came the giant. No sooner was he inside the room than he roared,
Fee-fi-fo-fum! I smell the blood of an Englishman! Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread.
But his wife told him he was mistaken, and after breakfasting off a roasted bullock, just as if it were a lark, he called out,
Wife, bring the little brown hen.
The giantess went out and brought in a little brown hen, which she placed on the table.
Lay,
said the giant, and the hen at once laid a golden egg.
Lay,
said the giant a second time, and she laid another golden egg.
Lay,
said the giant a third time, and she laid a third golden egg.
That will do for today,
he said, and stretched himself out to go to sleep. As soon as he began to snore, Jack crept out of the oven, went on tiptoe to the table, and snatching up the little brown hen, made a dash for the door. Then the hen began to cackle, and the giant began to wake up. But before he was quite awake, Jack had escaped from the castle, and climbing as fast as he could down the beanstalk, got safely home to his mother's cottage. The little brown hen laid so many golden eggs that Jack and his mother had now more money than they could spend. But Jack was always thinking about the beanstalk, and one day he crept out of the window again and climbed up and up and up and up until he reached the top. This time, you may be sure, he was careful not to be seen, so he crept round to the back of the castle, and when the giant's wife went out, he slipped into the kitchen and hid himself in the oven. In came the giant, roaring louder than ever.
Fee-fi-fo-fum! I smell the blood of an Englishman! Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread!
But the giantess was quite sure that she had seen no little boys that morning, and after grumbling a great deal, the giant sat down to breakfast. Even then he was not quite satisfied, for every now and then he would say,
Fee-fi-fo-fum! I smell the blood of an Englishman!
And once he got up and looked in the kettle. But of course, Jack was in the oven the entire time. When the giant had finished, he called out,
Wife, bring me the golden harp!
So she brought in the golden harp and placed it on the table.
Sing!
Said the giant, and the harp at once began to sing the most beautiful songs that ever were heard. It sang so sweetly that the giant soon fell fast asleep. And then Jack crept quietly out of the oven and, going on tiptoe to the table, seized hold of the golden harp. But the harp at once called out,
Master! Master!
And the giant woke up just in time to catch sight of Jack running out of the kitchen door. With a fearful roar, he seized his oak tree club and dashed after Jack, who held the harp tight and ran faster than he had ever run before. The giant, brandishing his club and taking terribly long strides, gained on Jack at every instant, and he would have been caught if the giant hadn't slipped over a boulder. Before he could pick himself up, Jack began to climb down the beanstalk, and when the giant arrived at the edge, he was nearly halfway to the cottage. The giant began to climb down too, but as soon as Jack saw him running, he called out,
Mother, bring me an axe!
And the widow hurried out with a chopper. Jack had no sooner reached the ground than he cut the beanstalk right in two. Down came the giant with a terrible crash. And that, you may be sure, was the end of him. What became of the giantess in the castle, nobody knows. But Jack and his mother grew very rich and lived happily ever after. And now here's that all-important moral of the story. Take advantage of life's many opportunities. But there's also a moral that everybody should know. It's better to give than to receive. Stay tuned for more stories, folks, as Tristan's Storytime continues. I've learned something about stealing many, many years ago when I was growing up. When you take something that doesn't belong to you, that's stealing.
The bear probably could have learned this lesson the easy way, but instead he chose the hard way. Well, let me tell you what that hard way is when I read the fable called The Bear and the Bees by Aesop. A bear roaming through the woods in search of berries happened on a fallen tree in which a swarm of bees had stored their honey. The bear began to nose around the log very carefully to find out if the bees were at home. Just then, one of the swarm came home from the clover field with a load of sweets. Guessing what the bear was after, the bee flew at him, stung him sharply, and then disappeared into the hollow log. The bear lost his temper in an instant and sprang upon the log tooth and claw to destroy the nest. But this only brought out the whole swarm. The poor bear had to make to his heels, and he was able to save himself only by diving into a pool of water. Of course, he came out of the pool some time later, injured by the stinging of the whole swarm of bees. Of course, the moral of this story is, do not steal, for stealing is bad. Or in other words, it is wiser to bear a single injury in silence than to provoke 1,000 by flying into a rage. What do today's nursery rhyme and a handkerchief have in common? They're part of a children's singing game, where children dance in a circle and one person drops the handkerchief. But we're not going to do any of that. We're just going to sing this nursery rhyme for fun. So I hope you enjoy this classic nursery rhyme, A Tisket, A Tasket. We will return with more Tristan Storytime in just a moment. Have you ever wanted a friend to play with? Well, you know what? That friend may be closer than you think. What if he's standing right next to you right now? Well, maybe this friend is afraid of being alone and wants to stick close to you. This poem describes the excitement of a child who is fascinated by his own shadow. It also illustrates a child's imagination and the pleasure children get in ordinary things, like shadows or books or pictures or anything that he or she can think of. And this classic poem is called My Shadow by Robert Louis Stevenson. I have a little shadow that goes in and out with me, and what can be the use of him is more than I can see. He is very, very like me, from the heels up to the head, and I see him jump before me when I jump into my bed. The funniest thing about him is the way he likes to grow, not at all like proper children, which is always very slow. For he sometimes shoots up taller like an India rubber ball, and he sometimes gets so little that there's none of him at all. He hasn't got a notion of how children ought to play, and can only make a fool of me in every sort of way. He stays so close beside me, he's a coward, you can see. I'd think shame to stick to nursie as that shadow sticks to me. One morning very early, before the sun was up, I rose and found the shining dew on every buttercup. But my lazy little shadow, like an errant sleepy head, had stayed at home behind me and was fast asleep in bed. Boy, those were some great stories that we read today, weren't they? But we've just come to the end of another great show. Did you enjoy it? I know I did. Leave a comment on the Tristan Storytime Facebook page and Twitter feed. And don't forget to follow Tristan Storytime on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Oh, and hey, if you missed a great story from the past, you're in luck, because you get to see great videos of some of the stories I read in the past every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. on social media. Music and sound effects are included. And if you want to get in touch with me, that's also very easy. Just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com and I'll be in touch with you lickety-split. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again to read some more great stories to you. Until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember, keep using your imaginations. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are Raggedy Ann and the Washing, taken from the book Raggedy Ann Stories, written and illustrated by Johnny Gruhl, published in 1918 by the P.F. Volland Company. Jack and the Beanstalk, taken from the book Childhood's Favorites and Fairy Stories, edited by Hamilton Wright Mabee, Edward Everett Hale, and William Byron Forbush, published in 1927 by the University Society, Incorporated. The Bear and the Bees, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Milo Winter, published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. A Tisket a Tasket, written by Van Alexander, originally published in the late 19th century. Music arrangement by The Green Orbs. My Shadow, taken from the book A Child's Garden of Verses by Robert Louis Stevenson. Illustrated by Bessie Collins Pease. Published in 1905 by the Dodge Publishing Company.